This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Bolton, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations in the administration of President Bush. Mr. Bolton is now with the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his reaction to the draft sanctions aimed against Iran by the permanent five members of the U.N. Security Council plus Germany. And Mr. Bolton actually has some breaking news on this today as a result of what he's discovered inside this proposed agreement. And, sir, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
First of all, as we reported earlier in the week, this basically is an effort to make Iran act in transparency with respect to its nuclear program and make sure other countries aren't doing some of Iran's work for it in terms of mining and enriching uranium and providing it weapon systems and so forth. So most of the reaction we've gotten so far doesn't suggest that this is going to deter Iran much. What's your take?
No, I think this is a very thin resolution. It's the fourth effort to impose sanctions on Iran, the sixth Security Council resolution overall. It does certainly tighten some sanctions, but it's only a very incremental effort. And I don't think overall it's going to have any material effect at all in terms of slowing down Iran's continued pursuit of nuclear weapons. In fact, I think in some respects this resolution is actually counterproductive because it gives the illusion of doing something about Iran's nuclear weapons program. It gives, therefore, I think a false sense of comfort that we're actually constraining it when, unfortunately, we're not doing any such thing.
The holdouts on the Security Council, the permanent members, of course, were Russia and China, and we'll get to that big story in a moment. But did we have to water it down to try and get them on board, or do you think that the U.S., the U.K., France, and Germany were willing to do something that really would have made a difference with Iran?
Well, you know, this is a common argument in Security Council matters that it's more important to preserve the unity of the five permanent members than to risk having a break and getting a stronger resolution. I don't agree with that as a matter of tactics. I think it's better to have a strong resolution. But what they've done here in order to get Russian support is to give up an absolutely critical element of the larger effort to impose conventional arms embargoes on Iran, and that is they've permitted, through some complicated language, but they've permitted the sale of the very sophisticated Russian air defense system known as the S-300. This is a very advanced system capable of defeating any aircraft in the world other than stealth aircraft, and the practical consequence of allowing that sale to go through will be once the S-300 is delivered and becomes operational, it will be impossible for Israel to undertake a military attack against the Iranian nuclear program. So really, this loophole in the sanctions gives Iran and its allies a major comfort factor that they can continue the nuclear program.
What does that do to impact Israel's options and its window of opportunity if it does exercise the military option?
Well, we certainly don't have a hard date on when the S-300s would be delivered. The Russians have put it off for quite some time, even though Iran has bought and paid for it. I think that's for a variety of reasons from Russia's point of view, to give them leverage on more weapon sales, more nuclear-related matters, possibly to put pressure on them on the weapons front as well. But the Iranians have said that Russia has told them that the delivery will be this summer. Now, you know, you take all of that with a grain of salt. But it's clear that once Israel learns that the weapons are being shipped or about to be shipped, they have a very narrow window in which to consider the possibility of military action. So again, and we're speculating now, but if what the Iranians say turns out to be true and the Russians do ship this summer, we're potentially coming up on very hard decisions for the Israelis in the very near future.
Back to the work with the U.S. and the Security Council, Mr. Ambassador, do you get the sense that in addition to trying to preserve unanimity among the permanent five members, that there is more naivete here, or that most folks really don't have a problem with Iran eventually getting nuclear weapons? They see it as a fait accompli, and they're just trying to figure out how to live with it.
Well, I think it's a combination, but it's very troubling, because it's a badly misplaced feeling that we can live with a nuclear Iran. Once Iran gets nuclear weapons, the whole balance of power in the Middle East changes. It doesn't require to use the weapons. As we can see from North Korea and its attack on a South Korean naval vessel recently, they think that having a nuclear capability is bulletproofs them against any kind of response when they do something outrageous like sinking the South Korean ship. So imagine all of the behavior that Iran engages in now, its support for terrorism on a worldwide basis, its interference in Iraq and a range of other objectionable behaviors, now buttressed by a nuclear capability. So that's why I think this is a very important decision point we're coming up on, and again, why I emphasize that for the administration to allow the Russians to ship this S-300 and, frankly, other advanced air defense systems as well is a huge, huge loophole.
If you had been advising the president, what would have been an acceptable and, do you think, effective resolution that might have been able to avoid veto on the Security Council, or just would have been the right way to go here?
Well, you know, I think we're past the point where sanctions are going to slow Iran down. I think sanctions could have been effective if they had been applied comprehensively and enforced comprehensively some years back. But I think now almost any sanctions resolution is too little too late. Certainly this resolution, which, as I said a moment ago, does tighten the existing three resolutions somewhat, will basically only increase Iran's transaction costs in dealing in international financial markets or buying advanced weapon systems. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said the other day that this text really amounts to little more than harassment of Iran, and I think that's a fair characterization. So I think we're very close to the point where Iran will get nuclear weapons, and I very much fear that what's really going on here is that the Obama administration is reconciled to that. I mean, that, not that they would welcome it, but that they don't see that there's anything they can do to stop it, given that they have basically ruled the use of military force out. They don't say that. They say it's still on the table. But I don't know anybody in Washington that seriously believes the Obama administration would be prepared to use force, which puts all of the pressure and directs the spotlight right on Israel.
And do you see them as the only option to preventing Iran from eventually achieving this goal?
Basically, at this point, I think that's right. I think we're down to some pretty unattractive alternatives, the most likely of which is that, indeed, Iran does get nuclear weapons, the other being that that we see some kind of preemptive strike from Israel.
We'll keep watching. And, Mr. Ambassador, we always appreciate your expertise. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.